to have you in here tonight. We've got a great message for you. Tonight's message is entitled, Can the Words of the Fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel, be spiritualized away?
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We are joining you live a little late here, but nevertheless, we're in here tonight, live, right here on WWRB 3.185 around the world. And we know that today is April the 29th. Moving right along, we'll be in Passover in Murphy, North Carolina on the 8th. Today, beginning that evening for a old-fashioned foot washing, and then we'll have the Passover on the 9th. That's on a Saturday. So make your plans and appointments to join us there. Tonight we're going into a very important message. Tonight, part two of the virtuous woman. Now, a virtuous woman, this is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the scriptures pertaining to the role of a woman in the assembly. Now, we're talking about the kingship here and the headship company of mighty ones in subjection to whomsoever the Bible says subjection must be given to. Well, we know that the divine covenant order is our Creator Yahweh. And then we know that the man being the head of the woman, and then man and woman and children are under Yahweh. All things in Yahweh by divine order. You can't do nothing out of order, and it's for sure, ladies and gentlemen, that the proliferation of the female clergy within the Christian church in the last days has really taken hold. And we know, for example, that the Southern Baptists, that's what I used to be, and this is the one reason that I left the Southern Baptist church and started looking for truth. And when you get out looking for truth, you'll visit a lot of churches, and you'll find a little truth, a little truth. If you really want to find the whole truth, you've got to get outside the church and the leadership of those who are out of order. According to my sources here that I'm going to quote from, the Southern Baptist Convention has approximately 1,500 ordained ministers and those fulfilling the roles in the ministry. The Association of Vineyard Churches, it allows women to preach, teach, evangelize, heal, prophesy, counsel, nurture, administrate, and build up the flock of God. The Church of Nazarene reports that this denomination has ordained women to the ministry since its founding in 1908 and supports the right of the use of their God-given spiritual gifts within the church. Now, Assemblies of God, USA. The Assemblies of God believe women can serve in all roles of the church ministry, including that of pastor. And in a position paper entitled The Role of Women in Ministry as described in Holy Scripture, the authors conclude, we cannot find, now listen to this now. I mean, they just toss the Bible out, and here's what they say. Well, if they can't find it, it's because the gospel's hid to them. And yet they're not going to acknowledge any gospel anyway, or just in part or in form and have a fashion. They're sounding bright and tinkling simple, and they want to keep up. We cannot find convincing evidence that the ministry of women is restricted according to some sacred or immutable principle. The existence in the secular world of bigotry against women cannot be denied. But there is no place for such an attitude in the body of Christ. We acknowledge that attitudes of secular society based on long-standing... What about the Bible? The long-standing tradition of the Bible. Now listen to this. Free Methodist Church of North America. This is the denomination in which the previous president of the National Association of Evangelists Dorn ordained a bishop, by the way. This denomination believes that the gospel of the Messiah knows no distinction of race, condition of sex, and with these beliefs, women should be encouraged to take their place in all areas of the church leadership and ministry, regardless of race, listen to that, or gender. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, what went with divine order? The husband being the head, and then the woman being under him, and they turned it around and put the skirt tail over the head of the man. And said, we can't find any scripture against a woman preaching in church. I suffer not a woman to teach or to speak. 1 Corinthians 14:34. So, these, well, many other churches and denominations, practically all of them, there's very few of the denominational assemblies outside the Catholic Church now. And listen to this now. Here is a church that will not ordain women to be priests. And yet this is the biggest church fallacy upon the earth. And yet they're sticking to, and they're hated for it. And they're out of touch with reality, as some say. And that's why two-thirds of their ministers they're mixed up in their sexual preferences, let's say, and it's simply because that they forbid their priest to marry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong here. And Peter, who the Catholic Church says was their first pope, he had a wife. What did he do with her? Sweep her under the rug? I don't think so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to know what the Bible says about 1 Timothy 2:1, it shows you how women were to learn in the local. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, as I read you in part one, 1 Timothy 2:11. Now, if we do that, and we get into the Bible, women are prohibited from exercising authoritative leadership of teaching the Word of God over men in the local assembly. 1 Timothy 2:9-15. It talks about others to be expected to keep the teaching when Paul said, if anybody wants to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, and he's the one that wrote this, that these are the commandments of Yahweh. So, we've got people that have gone plumb out of their way, and they've got plumb off course with the scriptures and its teaching, simply because they don't want to address the scriptures and to preach them because it brings contention. And well, let me show you what the Hebrew word for virtues. We're going to get on to Proverbs 31 here. Let me show you what the word Hebrew word for virtuous is. Shayel. Shayel means strength. Now this is virtuous. Talks about a virtuous woman here, and the word virtuous means strength. So, who can find a woman of strength, is what the scripture's really saying, of might, of efficiency, ability, wealth, with the power or a force of an army. Now, you stir a good woman up and get her committed to Yahweh, there's nothing better than a good woman and nothing worse than a bad woman. Now, let me show you something. Have you ever heard about the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment that was passed in Congress in 1978? Let me read you a little poem to share with you. These are the days of the ERA, when modern women would have her way. The scriptures, it seems, she's never heard, for she pays no attention to Yahweh's word. Yahweh's order of the sexes she ignores. For man's place she covets more and more, saying that she should be equal with man, forgetting the fact that she never can. Neither could man ever take her place, for he's not equipped for bearing the race, nor has he a mother with instinct and love given to her from Yahweh above. Now, man reasons coolly with his head, but woman is led by emotions instead. And, yep, that's true. Yah equipped man to take the hard knocks, but made the woman the cradle to rock. Still, modern woman doesn't see it that way, so against her maker, she rebels every day. Now, we're talking about the modern woman, ERA woman, here. Not all women. I'm not condemning all women, because I know a lot of good women. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for holy women. Women that are not forward. Women that love their husband. Women that support him. And especially if they're Yahweh men. And they take the cradle and rock it on behalf of the man that they love. Still, modern women doesn't see it that way. So against her maker, she rebels every day. With bobbed hair and a modest dress, Yahweh's word, well, she could care less. And even in churches, this rebellion prevails. For Yah said long hair and a covering or a veil. In the church, be silent, be quick, and be meek. But she has even decided to preach. Now, Yah knows what's best for his creation. And oh, how well off would be this nation if each home were a castle and every man a king, with a queen subjected to him in all things. A queen he could love and honor and cherish, and work to the end that their home might flourish. A queen in whom his heart could safely trust, he would seek her well-being and protect her he must. She would send him off with a smile and a prayer, and a sense of well-being, knowing she was there. To watch over his children and keep them from harm, teaching them and guiding them with a firm loving arm. And then he would hurry, when day's work was done, home to his queen, his daughters and sons. They would live for each other, and all live for Yah, serving him together as life's path they trod. Oh, how much better off would be the Israeli race if women once more would take her Yah-given place. But these are the days of the ERA, and modern women would have her own way. Ladies and gentlemen, that is so true, because when you look around in the world, you see women out of joint. And they've been coached out of the home. This started in World War I, World War II in this nation, that they permitted the women to go into the workplace. And they did these things purposely, because the men were at war. They said that was the excuse. But this was all a design plan to break the union and the place and the order, the divine order of the home. Well, let me show you what a virtuous woman is. Now, that's a modern woman, but let me give you a little poem about a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is more precious than tons of gold. She keeps her husband content, and teaches her children the wisdom to grow old. She awakes in the morning, adorning herself well, with modesty and humility, leading her family away from hell. With patience and kindness and love, she has the beauty of a cooing dove. This woman must be from far above, taken from man and full of love, to be your helpmate, your partner, and mother of your children, too. This one's so very special, Yah sent her just for you. So next time when you lose your patience and she gets you all upset, remember that without her, you could be alone still yet. So love her and treat her kindly, with respect and patience too, cause Yahweh has sent her into your life to be a virtuous wife to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the absolute truth. It is something to know that Yahweh has given us a spirit of love and understanding, and the role or the headship of the times where we have our home under subjection. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1-6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not that word. See, the wife is going to have a conversation about the Creator. And if Yah is in her heart, the hidden man of a heart, as Peter says here, then you know that Yahweh is going to bless you. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 10. But I would have you to know that the head, this is headship. This is why I talk about headship. That is the authority of every man is the Messiah. And the head of every woman is the man. And the head of the Messiah is Yahweh. Therefore, no inferiority is implied in submissiveness. In other words, when you submit, you're not inferior to those that you submit to if you are to submit yourself unto your own husband, as unto Yahweh. And that's what it says here. So then, if a woman wants to pray, and if she wants to teach, then Paul says she's not to pray or to prophesy having her head uncovered. And if she does, she dishonors her head. Well, who's her head? Her husband. If she takes the role of the husband, and then she gets up and forwards herself over her husband, she's dishonored her husband, according to the Bible. And oh, how that happens so many times. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies, every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovers, dishonors her head. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the word. Where did these denominations go wrong here? Tradition. Full well they reject the commandments of Yahweh to keep their own tradition. With her head uncovered, she dishonors her head. In other words, you uncover your husband's head when you get up and you do these things, and it shames the husband because he's supposed to speak for you, not you for him. Now, when it says to remain in silence, it doesn't say to remain silent. If it did, you couldn't even breathe, like I said. It said remain silent in silence. That means low, muffled sound. You can tell your husband to have the assembly to pray for you. And if the prayers are not hindered and everything's in divine order, then everything is going to be just like Yahweh made it for you, and just like Yahweh is going to answer your prayers if you are in divine headship order. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, a woman has a place right in the assembly, that is in the body of the Messiah. And now when she goes into a public place, the Bible says that she has her long hair, and she is to remain in silence, that's low key, and not be forward and, you know, and taking over and getting up and lifting a text. I've seen women try to preach. I've never seen one preach, but I've seen them try. And they'll get up and they'll break Yahweh's laws that he wrote from the very beginning, and for this cause, the Bible said a woman should have power on her head, that is, her long hair covered. And the longer the hair, the more covering. Now, her hair is given for a covering. And that's where the veil comes in. But if she be not shorn, let her remain covered. But if she wants to shave her head and get up and like Paul shaved his head because he had a vow. And the ministry fell upon him more powerful. Sometimes when a man takes his hair off of his head, he becomes more devoted with the vows of honoring the commitment that he has to Yahweh. And that's wonderful. But for a woman to do that, it's a shame. For a woman to pray or prophesy or to speak with her head uncovered. Now, if she's covered, then she has the opportunity to do the things that the Bible tells her she can do. But Paul said, I do not approve of a woman bringing in authority over her husband, or in that matter, over the headship company. Because we give you the divine order again, Yahweh, man, woman, and children. That's the divine order. The four aspects that I told you about, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. That's the four aspects of it. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You ever thought about what a virtuous woman really is? That means she's very strong, she's very dedicated, she's very honorable, and the men that sit in the gate will praise her. Any man that has a good woman, other men will praise because that's what they want. And if they don't have it, they actually yearn for that, for their own wives to be under subjection to their own husband in all things. That's what the Bible said. And so then, her price being far above rubies is described in that manner, that if she has these virtuous qualities about her, and she's pleasing to Yahweh in these virtuous qualities, she is like a mighty army. Strength, wisdom, character, integrity, meekness, shamefacedness. What do you say, Pastor Buddy? Meekness and shamefacedness? For what reason? Well, Paul described that again. And this is why a lot of women hate Paul. Because he cuts out their the tongue flapping in the assembly. And that's what they come for, is to bring authority upon the men in the assembly. And I've been to a lot of churches where it just got plumb out of order. I had to get up and call them down and then take the stand with the word. Now, it hurts. It cuts like a knife. But a woman praising, you know, like the little ladies in the Battle of Jericho, the seventh day march. Do you ever know that the Bible says that the little damsels, the little ladies of Israel, they went out and they took their tambourines, and I'm sure their heads were covered with long hair. They went out and took their tambourines, and they made music, and it shook the earth under their feet. It was so powerful with divine order. Now, their husbands were standing ready to attack Jericho and defend their wives. Now, remember we said that a husband should love his wife. If you're a striker, and you're a beater, and you're a verbal abuser, you need to go out to your altar and you need to make confession and repent of it and come back and love your wife like you love yourself. For no man ever harmed himself. You don't abuse yourself. So don't abuse someone that the Bible says that you should love them as your own body, because they two shall twain as one. If they're honorably married in Yahweh. Now, if you don't have a John, St. John, chapter 4, marriage, like I said, you're going to be in big trouble. Now, remember I said that the woman that had been married to five husbands, now, it didn't say that she was divorced from them. It said she'd been married to five. Well, I don't know where the first husband died, second husband died, or the third husband died, the fourth husband died, but that's beside the point, and I don't think they did. Because the sixth husband that she had, she was still married to, and he said, the one that you're married to now, number six, he's not your husband. That was startling to her. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Actually, he got into her heart and really described to her, he said, there's no submission. You don't have any love for this man that you're with now. You've had five. You didn't love them. You see, sometimes people marry for the wrong reasons. Unless Yahweh joins them together. Now, in the seventh chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we note that marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. Now, listen to that. Marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. No wonder her price is far above rubies if she's found her husband. And she's married not by the first, second, third church of this and that, and because she can sing well, or because she's a big preacher or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, we have women now that hold all offices of bishops, just like a Regia, and they preach and they minister. And that's according to the Bible that I read. Now, I may be reading out the wrong Bible. Evidently, I am, because it seems like I'm out of step with every denomination in the country. I go in and I see this monkey shines and all this jibber-jabber and all this breaking of Yahweh's word, and I wonder where the men are. I start looking around for men. And I come to find out there ain't many in there. These men would like to set the thing in order, but they don't. They can't do that. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. If you've got a good woman, and she's loving and kind and nurturing, she's lodged strangers and washed their feet according to what the Apostle Paul said, what Peter said, what the Messiah himself said, go call your husband. You see, he wanted that divine order to come before him. He knew it wasn't there. And you go into these assemblies today and call for divine order, and it ain't there. It's out of order. It's like a bone out of joint. No wonder these, and yet they fill the churches. Well, of course they do. They compromise. There's a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof is death, the Bible said. From such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, what are we working for? What are we worshiping for anyway? To put on a show? To compromise with a tradition, or to go to bow the knee before him in Matthew 25:31, when we're going to have to hear him say, well done, or depart from me. That's the only two answers you're going to get on the day of judgment, is enter in, my good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over. And you've got to be faithful in this thing. And a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies, and the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, he don't have to go out and rob the Piggly Wiggly to put provisions on the table. Now we're going to show you why. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Boy, does she work for herself so that she can join the ERA and be independent and you know, strut around and do all these things that these modern women... You see, women in America have no idea. The churches are so corrupt and so evil and so far removed from the truth and the charity and the love of Yahweh in their heart, that you wouldn't know a good holy woman if you saw one in a big long dress, and that don't make a holy woman. In for that matter, she can have hair down as long as Crystal Gayle's, and that still don't make a holy woman. So then what's the answer here? Obedience. Let your women keep silence, as all saith, so saith the law, and it's obedience to that law. Go back and read the commandments of the Old Testament. There was never a woman that ever took the authority of a priest or a high priest in the Bible. Never one. Now, we had a judge in Deborah as a woman in the book of Judges. Now, let me comment on that for just a moment. You know why that Yahweh sent Deborah, the prophetess, over the house of Israel as a judge? That men had to come up and take the medicine, and she, because she was doing what the men had failed to do. Israel had forsaken and gone over to the groves and joined Baal and Baal Peor till there was nothing left, but Deborah remained faithful, and Yahweh, in disgust, set her over the congregation. And isn't that what it says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12? As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. See, when Israel went a whoring after Baal Peor, and you know what was going on over there? The fertility goddess of Ishtar, which is a pagan symbol, the word that we use today would be Ishtar. And you go to these Ishtars, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about in these denominational churches, where they let women get up and preach and rule over men. They are your oppressors, and they demand their rights. ERA demanded their rights, and they got it because there's a law passed in Congress that you cannot discriminate a woman anywhere. And you'll be denied your 501(c) agenda or your authority to have a congregation. Now, this is government. What authority does a government have to tell you what to do when it goes against the word of Yahweh? Peter, James, and John said, we ought to obey Yahweh rather than man or the Sanhedrin assembly. It grieved them that they taught the people through the name of Yahweh that they could get remittance and remission of sins, and it was against the Sanhedrin principle because they taught that you had to come to the priest and pay him the indulgence. It's just like the Catholic Church does when they say you have to pay the Pope. And they literally killed millions because they failed to do that. So this is a suffering way. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. In a like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and severity. Not with bordered hair, as gold and pearls and costly array, which becometh women professing godliness, with good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what went with the word of Yahweh? If I was to preach the Bible and never get out of the Bible, but preach the Bible, just read scriptures verbatim right out of the Bible, I would make 99.99% of the so-called Christian churches, I would make them mad at me. Well, you just come in here to bring in trouble. I believe a woman's got a right to preach, and glory to God, and shunai, and they'll go off on some big tangent of tradition. You just hold your peace and stick with the word, and Yahweh will back you. And now let me tell you something. Here's the authority of the word. It would have been better. Now, the reason why that these churches have gone wrong is because men fail to stand up and be men and demand and to pray and to study and to fast. If you spend a lifetime just working at your job at General Motors instead of working for Yahweh, I've got hours and hours and hours. I'm not bragging. I'm complaining in this because I don't have enough. I have read the Bible for seem like ever. And when I read the Bible, I get confused. And you say, well, what do you get confused about, Pastor Buddy? It's because so few people are obeying it. And the Bible says, this is the good way. See and ask for the good path. and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your soul. Well, when you get in it, you can rest. You don't have to run to and fro seeking rest and finding none. You got it. If I never went to through a church door as long as I live, I've still got rest and peace because I've got him inside. I don't have to go outside to go into a church building because he don't dwell in a church building like a lot of these preachers claims he does. There's going to be a Bible burning, and it's going to involve a lot of these false prophets that are preaching out of their own vain imagination. Ladies and gentlemen, you know where the house of Israel is? It's where Yahweh abides in you, the hope of glory. And look at James chapter 1, verse 1, and these preachers just don't get it. They can't smell no coffee here because they're filled with this traditional denominational doctrine, just like silly women led away with divers errors and laden with sin. They themselves have become victims of such because there's such a strong way that seems right that prevails over them, and it leads them down the path of destruction. Notice what it says in James 1 and 1. Somebody ought to read that to these false prophets. I wish we could have a preacher's meeting. I really do. I really just wish we could, and we could go toe-to-toe, knuckle-to-knuckle, and eyeball-to-eyeball with Yahweh's word and let Yahweh kill everything in the preacher's meeting that ain't like him. I take my chances on surviving because I love the word. But it has to be rightly divided. Look at James 1 and 1. To the 12 tribes scattered where? In Israel? That little sandbox over there that used to be home to a lot of people? No. James said to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. But we've been convinced that Israel now is one tribe. And that's the Jews. That's God's chosen people. Well, Revelations 4 and 9 and 2 and 9 and 3 and 9 disputes that. The temple going to be built? Paul disputes that. He said there's going to be a temple for the devil, not a temple for Yahweh. Because Yahweh don't dwell. Yahweh does not dwell in temples made by hand. But everybody said, well, he used to. And according to the prophecies, he's going to come back and dwell again. Well, read that to me. I mean, they say, I didn't read the rest of it, but I meant to. Well, pardon me. What's your problem here? Read the rest of the scriptures. Bring in rightly divide, and let's get on to the doctrine here. Let's get a debate going here. We ought to have a national debate. I wish we could get on television and have a national debate. I'd like to debate some of these false prophets like Benny Wynn or Hen or whatever his name is, and Oral Roberts and Richard and all these high-fluting television preachers that's preaching this garbage. Simply because they're ordaining women, by the way, on top of that. The Oral Roberts University is training women right now to go out and take over a parsonage and to teach the people, to issue up authority over them, and the Bible's against that. But they won't read those scriptures. I ain't never heard them read them. You never hear them read it either, as long as they can get away with their tradition. And until a preacher, a Yahweh man, gets in their midst and brings it to the people's attention, that's why everywhere I go, I cause trouble. But out of that, they will be people redeemed and to come out of that tradition if you will set them a guideline or set a marker for them. Now, the Bible said it'd be better for you not to know the way and know it, not go it. Because when you hear the word, you're bound by the authority and the judgment of the word. It'd be better for you not to hear it than to hear it and not obey it. And some of these preachers are getting away with a lot of stuff because they've never heard the word themselves. They've just heard their tradition. Well, I know God's people's over there. Glory to God, Shunda. You do? Well, I know Yahweh's got some people over here called the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they didn't all go back over there. And according to some of the prophecies, they're not to go back. They're scattered abroad. And all of those who were there in the place called the upper room. Every one of them, I'm going to prove to you that they was not one Jew, J-E-W, not one. There was not one out of the 12. Not one. There was one appointed to take Judas's place, who was the Jew. Now, let me tell you what kind of Jew he was. See, this is where the problem comes in. People don't, they don't understand what you're talking about. Judas had a father. Would anybody ever want to go and look up and see what he was? He was a stinking Canaanite. He was an evil Canaanite. John 8:44 talks about him. You of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. The Canaanite is the one put his testimony against Yahweh in the court of the Sanhedrin, where he had been paid to lie. And now we've got these preachers being paid handsomely by the unbelievers to lie to their flock. That's not a virtuous woman, the assembly of Yahweh, when we compare and bump it up and bring it into Yahweh. Yahweh didn't marry a liar. He didn't have a Canaanite in his congregation. The Bible talks about, you wanna really know what kind of a temple Yahweh's got? Well, let me show you. He don't dwell in unclean temples. He don't dwell where one Canaanite is. He don't dwell in them or around them. He has nothing to do with them, because light has nothing to do with darkness. In that day, there will not be one. This is Malachi, if you want to read it, the last verse. In that day, Zechariah, last verse, 14. In that day, there will not be one Canaanite in the house of Yahweh. Now, where is the house of Yahweh? You are the house of Yahweh. For Yahweh dwelleth not. I don't care what these people say. Well, he's going to go. We've been over there where they're preparing to build a temple. Yeah, they're over there doing it. And I said they would. They will. And they will deceive the very elect. And there'll be a lot of Bibles burnt in that day when it don't work out like they've got it planned. Neither the devil nor those that are deceived and support him. Because Satan is very crafty and would deceive. Now listen to this. He would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And when I hear all this false crap, this seem right stuff, oh yeah, it seems good. Oh, they sing like canaries and they let their women preach and teach and assert authority over man. But that don't make it right just because they do that. Or just because they come up with a beautiful scenario that it sounds good, it tickles the ears, but it's not a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is a truth assembly. Her price is far above rubies. You can't pay me enough to preach the lies that these people are preaching. I could have been retired a long time ago if Yahweh had let me live. But knowing what I know, he had never let me live. Because the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the disobedient, those that know better. You better take a cue from those who know and those that have been chastised with the word of Yahweh. And you better come out from among them, the unclean, and quit trying to get a bunch of Canaanites to build a temple, which they will do, and they've already got the Christian world deceived. They come right over here and tell you that they're not out of the house of Shem. They boldly tell you that. They will tell you that they are for Ashkenazis, from the bloodline of Ashkenazi. And that ain't out of the house of Shem. They don't even have a covenant. And yet they have crept in unaware and would deceive the very elect. And those people over there claim to be Jews are Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. They're not. They're liars. They may be some good people over there with good intention, and you might have went over there 1,000 times. That don't make you right, because you went to the land of Israel. The land of Israel ain't no over there in that sandbox is no more holy than it is where you stand. If you've got Yahweh in you, Yahweh is just as holy here as he is over there. But I want to go over and see where he walked. You don't go over and see where he died. You want to see what the Bible said about him being over there? Well, it's very simple what he had to say about that place over there. He called it Sodom. He didn't call it. He didn't call it a holy city. Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that when Jerusalem was established in 1000 B.C., that it was not a holy assembly when the Messiah came 2,000 years ago? He said it wasn't a holy assembly. He had problems with it. When he wanted to worship, he went out into the wilderness. And you know where the wilderness was? The city of Ephraim. John 11:54. That's where he went to. He went to the wilderness. And many times you'll hear him said he went to the wilderness. Well, now you know where he went. You know why? He went back to his family altar up on the mountain at Bethel, Ephratah, not Bethlehem, Judea, as some have erroneously reported that to be. And I've got $5,000 reward for anybody can prove that Bethlehem, Judea was the place of the birth of the Messiah. It was not. You say, well, now I've got the Bible says it is glory to God. No, you've got the Pharisees and the scribes' word. That can be questioned by me, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you want the prophet's word, it wasn't Bethlehem in Judea. It was Bethlehem Ephratah. And you say, well, it wouldn't know difference. Well, look up the word in the Strong's. If you're so quick to know Hebrew, won't you take a look at that? Because if Mr. James Strong was wrong, and I don't think it was, it's number 669 through 672 root words of the lineage and the house of Joseph Ephraim. That's where your Messiah was from, ladies and gentlemen. And we've been lied to, and the Jews are not God's chosen people. The 13 tribes that are scattered abroad are the holy people of Yahweh. Not a particular people over there that claim to be Jews and are not. And when you examine this, I don't care how friendly they are, the devil, a snake will charm you. And a snake will destroy you, because you can go to bed and sleep with a snake for 5 or 6 years. I used to be in the Holiest Movement where we handled rattlesnakes and copperheads. And some of our people actually slept with them under the bed. That's true. They were so addicted to handling natural snakes. Well, I'm addicted. I never did handle one. I could have. I've sat in church houses on the altar and played guitars and had snakes crawling across my feet. I'd just take my foot and kick them back over on the floor, and some woman would get up and grab it and run all over the church house like she had the Holy Ghost, or some man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's because you can handle a rattlesnake, but you can't handle the word. When it says if they drink in a deadly thing, it ain't the venom out of a jar of strychnine, and I've seen them turn it up and drink it. And I've seen them die. I've seen people bit with snakes and die. I've seen a lot of people that were bit and didn't die. But the Bible said without enchantment, the serpent will bite. If you got him enchanted, and I know how it's done. I learned from the best. I know how you can shake a snake and disjoin his backbone, and he will be as limp, and you'll think that's the Holy Ghost. They say, watch the Holy Ghost now. And they'll shake it a little bit, and his backbone will become disjointed, and he'll lay it down the floor, and it'll roll over, and with its belly up, and all you can see is the white of its belly. And it won't move for 10 or 15 minutes. But when that backbone rejoins itself, that snake comes back to life, and you better watch him, because he'll get you. Well, you got to turn him back over on his back, and be careful when he arches, and you pick him up through the arch, and it's a gift. And I know some of the best that handle them down here in East Tennessee and here in Western Kentucky and up through West Virginia and Virginia. That's the North Carolina. That's the hotbed of snake handling. And it's still being practiced here today, ladies and gentlemen. People think that they've got the Holy Ghost that handles snakes. And they wouldn't know how to handle a real serpent if one walked into the house. They'll hug him up if you'll agree with them. But ladies and gentlemen, when you come against their ungodliness, and when you teach against their stupidity and bring the living word with the word, the Bible said they shall cast out devils. they shall take up serpents. What's that talking about? A two-legged serpent in this case, ladies and gentlemen. There's more serpents on two legs than I've ever seen in a church house, and I've seen literally as many as maybe 40 or 50 boxes of snakes, some of them with 10 or 15 in the box. And at one time or another, every one of the boxes emptied out and crawling around the floor from the front of the church house to the back. And if you didn't have it, you'd get out and you'd see people run out of the church house when they turned the snakes loose. But a devil can walk in on two legs and sit down always dressed up and nobody will know. They say, well, they'll walk up and shake his hand and agree with him. Some sister will walk up and preach a message and they'll shout under her anointing and go on and go on and go. That's not a virtuous woman. She worked willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And she'll come up. My mother, bless her heart. We had 10 children at the table, or 10 with my parents at the table. Three times we ate. The old country people thought you had to eat three times a day. And my mother could have enough food left over through the night to, you know, when you get the hunger pains and you still go in the refrigerator, we didn't have any of those. We had spring houses. If you want a glass of cold milk, you'd go walk all the way out to spring house and jerk up the jug out. Always a string tied to it. It would have a silver dollar in the bottom of it. And we'd jerk that up and pour us a glass of milk and the mom would always have cornbread left over or we'd make hot mush and put that in there, and boy, that was good on a cold winter night. It was excellent. But my mother was so wonderful because she brought her food from I don't know where. She always had a menu. She always cooked abundantly. And then we had workers that come in. And she was able to feed those workers. I just admired my mother so much. She was so spunky. And I got to grow up around a wonderful mother. I was so blessed. And I had a wonderful father. They were full of love. They loved the family. And they loved headship. And I sort of grew up around that. And so it's rubbed off on me. I like headship. She gathers the fruit with her hands. She plants a vineyard. She considers a field and buys it. She went out and gathered up food. Her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. My mother sewed for us. I had five brothers and four sisters. And we were rough neck. Of course, we wore overalls or denim jeans. We couldn't wear our denim jeans till Sunday. We wore overalls during the week because we worked. And we rode mules, and, you know, the old mules were sweaty, and of course, we were sweaty too. It was hot. We worked in the fields, and we didn't have bathroom facilities. You just, you know, you get a bucket of cold water or something out of the spring, pour it over your head, and get you some lye soap, and you could wash your hair. It'd cut the dirt off. And if you had bar scratches or whatever, it'd sting the living fire out of you. And your mama had your clothes mended where you'd torn, and she'd sew. And I remember at night she would sew. She said, "What have you done, son?" I caught it on the fence, trying to cross the fence, and I ripped my pants off, and she would sew it back, and it'd be as good as new. She'd patch old overhauls. I wore overhauls that had more patches on it than it had anything else. And I was thankful that I had a mother that loved me good enough to do things like that on my behalf. Where's those women gone to? Now, we still got good women. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about this modern woman that I've been talking about. In our assembly, we've got some of the most beautiful women that you could ever meet. They're loving, they're kind, they're supportive, and they're there. They cook, they wait on you. they're not show-offs. They're not braggarts. They're not murmurs or complainers. At least most of them ain't. we got a few men that could qualify in some of that department, because Israel is noted to be heady and high-minded and cantankerous and bullheaded. So maybe I ought to have I guess some of the sisters demand that I preach a message or two about the men's place, and they've got one. That's over the woman, and to run their household. The woman runs the home, but the man is the final authority. My mom would whip us, and she was pretty good at what she done, because she scared the living hound out of you. If she had a butcher knife in her hand and you crossed her, she'd lay the butcher knife, and you didn't know where it was coming, with the blade straight, or if the blade was flat. Most of the time it's flat, and she'd pop it on your butt, and you had them big butcher knives, homemade butcher knives. And, boy, she'd pop you real good, and, you know, you had a big red streak across your butt, or wherever she got to hit you. Sometimes it'd be across your head, and all you'd have that, in that case, would be a pop knot on your head, because they didn't spare the rod to spoil the children. I grew up with discipline, and I'm thankful, because it means a whole lot to me. Praise Allah. So do that. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with good clothes. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow. Her husband is known in the gates. He's honored. When he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh a fine linen and selleth it, and delivers girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta quit. I gotta get out of here. My time is, you know, it's just come and gone. So I've got to get out of here. Didn't know it was so late. Write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, or Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. I'll see you Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless ya is my prayer to you, and keep you in good grace, and may Yahweh take a liking to you, and may you obey his word. Hallelujah.